Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
So this morning, we are in a table talk series. And so to be honest with you, transparent, I spent the week toiling and praying and thinking about Mother's Day, the table talk series, and trying to make all of this work out together. And I believe God just started to confirm in my heart the message for this morning. Because we're in a series, we've been diving into building strong and healthy relationships and how having the right people at the table make a huge difference in how we experience the abundant life and experience the fullness that God wants for us in our relationships and the people that we're connected with on a daily basis. And so we started out the series with talking about that Jesus is our fresh bread, and that if we build a strong and healthy relationship with Jesus first, He carries that over into our other relationships. And then last week we talked about reserving a few seats closest to us at the table who are going to speak truth into us when life gets hard, and to be there for us. And who is at our table is very, very important to speak and help guide and direct our lives. And this week, we're going to be looking at a particular story in John chapter 2. John chapter 2, we're going to be there in just a few moments. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to open there. We're also going to put it on the screens for you as well. Or maybe you have a Bible that glows and you want to use your iPad or phone. You can use that too. John chapter 2. We'll be reading from the ESV, but whatever version you bring, we'll bring those together as well. But before we do, I want to pray for us and ask God just to move during this time and speak to our hearts, and then we'll jump right in, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We are thankful to have this morning, to be together, God. We know that each and every person that is here is not by mistake, but on purpose, God. And I just pray that you will open our hearts, open our mind to your truth. I pray that you will guide and direct our steps. I pray that your word will speak into our hearts. I pray that you will water that seed, God, and that it'll bloom into fruitfulness in our life that we will see and move. God, we love you. We trust you. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase, God. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to kick off a little bit because I read these and I'm literally reading these and laughing by myself in my kitchen. Okay, so I wanted to read some of these. And when we talk about Mother's Day, it's awesome to see the different perspectives, right? But this group of people got a bunch of second graders together and ask them some questions and ask them to describe a little bit about their mom, about life. Okay, you guys ready for this? You ready for this? Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. It says, why did God make mothers? This is a second grader. To help us get out when we are getting born. What ingredients are mothers made of? I love this one. God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. just one little dab, right? Why did God give your mother and not some other mom? God knew she would like me a lot more than all other people's mom would like me, right? What kind of little girl was your mother? I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy, but they did say she used to be nice, right? Who is the boss at your home? Mom is. She doesn't want to be, but she has to be because Dad's such a goofball. Right? So relevant. What is the difference between moms and dads? Moms work at work and work at home. Dads just go to work at work. What does your mom do in her spare time? Mothers don't do spare time. What would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, she is already perfect. On the outside, some type of plastic surgery. Unbelievable, right? If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? I would like her to get rid of those invisible eyes in the back of her head. I love those. I read those. I was literally laughing out loud. I was like, man, what a perspective that the kids have there. And what, you know, sometimes kids just say whatever's on their mind, and that's always makes for good jokes. But moms are so huge. And not only just a particular position of a mom, but also the heart of a mom. And we see so often in Scripture that God leans into that relationship over and over. We read in Isaiah when the Israelites feel like they are forsaken. God leans in and He says, you know what? I have not forgotten you. It does a mother forget her baby when she is nursing? No. See, just like that, I will never forsake you. So Jesus even sees that, the power and the beauty and the love in that heart, in those relational hearts that we can have of investing in the next generation and being there a part of that family. And I see that it's a very powerful thing in our lives. And so I wanted to look at, if you know anything about John chapter 2, this is an incredible story about Jesus having an interaction with His mother. And then it moves on and explodes into now thousands of years later, we're still talking about this, but it's Jesus' interaction with His mother. And I just try to think about that. Isn't that wild to think about? Like, you talk about some pressure, right? You're the mother of Jesus. You've been assigned to raise the Son of God, and you lose Him once, right? So there's hope for me whenever I leave a kid somewhere. But she has this relational opportunity to invest in Jesus. And I don't even know how that is even theologically correct, right? To invest in Jesus, to raise and to foster and to give that environment for Him. And so she is here, and now Jesus is getting older, and some scholars believe around the 30 age mark. And so now he's a full-grown man, full-grown adult, and he's moving into his full-time ministry setting. And we get here in just the second chapter of John. In the first chapter of John, it starts to describe who Jesus is. And now in John chapter 2, we see this interaction between the two, and they're at a wedding. And so I want to read it for you here. John chapter 2, verse 1. If you're ready, say amen. 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 All right. Verse 1, it says, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. So Jesus was also invited to the wedding with His disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to Him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, I don't suggest us, you know, using that terminology these days, hey, woman. But in that time, it was culturally relevant to use that. What does this have to do with me? My hour has not come yet. His mother said to the servants, do whatever He tells you. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water, and they filled them to the brim. And He said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This is the first of His signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. What an incredible story. It says on the third day they're attending this wedding. And I love stories like this because it just shows who Jesus was and His family, that they were invited to this wedding, that He wasn't so distant from people, too holy or too righteous to connect. But no, they wanted to be around Jesus. People said, hey, Jesus, come to my wedding. Your mom's coming to my wedding. Can you be there too? In fact, we like you so much. Bring your friends. Bring your disciples, right? Like, that sounds like a party. Hey, we got food, all of this stuff. And in those times, it was tradition for the wedding ceremony, the wedding feast, to last 7 days. And so that's a long party, right? A long wedding celebration. And so by the end of the wedding, they would have wine, which was customary during that time. It was a huge dietary drink for them during that time. But by the end of the week, they would start to supplement some of the wine and actually add water to dilute it, because they've been drinking all week, or at the end of the night, they would add water to it so they could make the wine stretch a long way. And this was a big deal. And so if you're at one of these weddings during this particular time, if you were the host, it was a very high honor to be a host. In fact, how well you hosted was almost in correlation to how much honor you wanted to show this family. And so it was a very big deal to have all of the wine, all of the food set, and because it lasted the entire week and all these families continued to get together. So this was a big deal, and it sets it up a little bit more of why Mary would have been so anguished to say, hey, this can't happen, right? Because a problem arises. A situation comes up, and it says, hey, the wine ran out, right? The wine ran out, which we would think, okay, that maybe not a huge deal in the scope of Jesus leaving heaven and being the Messiah and coming on this earth, right? But it was enough to where Mary stopped and said, whoa, this can't happen. Like, we can't run out of wine right now. Like, she's that kind of hostess. She has that kind of heart and hospitality. And she's like, this cannot happen. And so she stops. And I love this because there are moments, I believe, in our life where we can have a problem rise up to the surface. And from the outside looking in, it may not seem like a huge problem. But on the inside, we're still toiling with it in our emotions. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can run out. I can run out of patience. I can run out of emotional energy. I can run out of, I don't know what to say now in this season. I don't know what to do now. My kids are talking this way. They're acting this way. I'm out of options. Have you ever been there? Just ran out in this moment. I believe in this, Mary shows us some incredible things to do. She stops. There's a problem. She doesn't know what to do next. They ran out. The wine is empty. She stops. And who does she turn to? Her son Jesus. Because she knows if there is a problem, if I can get that problem to Jesus, he's going to give me wisdom to know what to do next. And in fact, the problem in Jesus' world, when Jesus comes and sits at the table, the problem is now an opportunity, right? An opportunity for God to do something incredible. An opportunity maybe for a miracle. An opportunity for God to manifest his glory. And that problem now is now flipped and turned, because when Jesus comes to the table, everything is changed. Everything is different. And Mary turns to Jesus, and I just love this interaction. I don't know. She just says, hey, we have no wine. And then she turns and says, hey, Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus is like, whoa, this is not even my time. Like, you want me to do this? Which I find is so fascinating, because she knew that Jesus could and had the ability to perform this miracle. She knew Jesus has not performed. This is the first miracle that the Bible records and says, hey, this is the first thing into his public ministry. But she already knew. She already believed in him. She knew he was the Messiah. She knew he was the Son of God. And I believe you and I need that kind of heart of a mother who will look at us. And you don't even have to be the mother of that person, but to believe in someone before anybody else sees it. To look into somebody. I think about teachers. I think about all these people, coaches, and here at church, and you're in children's ministry and greeting, all those opportunities to look at somebody and go, okay, I see this in you. And you know what? I believe in you. I see this little piece of light in your life and in your heart. And I see that God can use that for greatness. I still remember this when I was younger. Probably my mom could probably tell me, she's in here today. Whoop, whoop. She's usually serving in babies. But I remember this. I was probably later in fourth, fifth grade, and something happened. Something came up in the early morning, and we sat down at the table. It's funny how you remember the weirdest things, right? I'm putting jelly on toast. Okay, I do remember that. We're sitting around the table, and my mom, she goes, well, I'm glad that we had this time together. And she said, I just kind of wanted to speak into you a little bit. She said, hey, I've noticed some special things about you. And I believe God's going to use you in incredible ways. I'm 32 years old. And I remember that to this day. I'm in fourth and fifth. I was probably talking back, throwing baseballs through the window. All these different things, right? But she stopped. And in that moment said, hey, I see something in you. I believe in you. I want to manifest this. I want to speak this into you. And when we have somebody speak into us like that, who will stop out of their time, stop out of their day and go, hey, I see this little glimmer of hope. I see this little piece of light inside of your life and inside of your heart. And God can use it to do something incredible. And hey, I believe in you. I'm here for you. If you want me to help with that, if you want me to encourage you to have that moment, it becomes so powerful. And we see that begin to happen. And Mary stops and she says, hey, I believe in you. I see this in you. I'm here to encourage you. And how powerful to know. And I think about Jesus, even in our relationship now, in our relationship today, how Jesus looks down at us and he sees the diamond in the rough. He says, I love you so much that even though you are have full of sin and everything in your life and everything in your heart, I love you so much, I see new life in you. And if you will just believe in me, my grace is enough to cover your past, present, and future, and I am here for you. And when he died on the cross, he paid that debt. He paid for your sin, paid for my sin, and we have a new life, and we are a new creation in Christ because Jesus said, hey, I believe that I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you believe in me, I can help open up that road. I can help open up that path for you. And I believe in you. And Jesus first did that for us. And we get full of that love because he first loved us. And so if you're taking notes there, there's a couple little things you can write down that when a problem arises, it's an opportunity for God. When a problem arises, it's an opportunity for God. And when we have a problem, we always take it to God first. We can take it to God first. We can go before him in prayer. And so many times in our relationship, when we see the first moment of dissension, first moment of divisiveness, first thought that may pop in our mind that may cause division, we can take that and give it to God. And say, God, hey, I just had this thought. I just had this moment. I had this thing in my heart. God, I want to give it to you. It's a problem right now. I'm anxious over it. I'm worried about it right now, God. I know that you can handle this. I know that you can heal this. I know that you can restore. I know that you can work this in me. God, I want to give it to you first because I believe that you can do something for me. I believe that you can do that in my life. And it shows, just think about when somebody comes to you when they have a problem because they believe you can have, that you have the answer for it. And you know how that makes us feel, right? Almost in a backwards way of going, okay, hey, they need me. Hey, they want my help in this. They see me in that kind of way that I have either that connection or that skill set or that thought or that wisdom. And God is saying, hey, I love it when you come to me with what's on your heart. God is saying, hey, bring that to me first. And there's opportunity for Jesus. And then the story continues. And we see this. And Jesus says, hey, I love what Mary does here. She comes and she talks to Jesus. And she asks him, she says, hey, can you do something about this? And Jesus says, hey, it's not my time. We can't do this. And then Mary, what does she do? She turns and goes, hey, just do whatever he says, right? Like she knew he was going to do it, right? Like that's a mom for you. She's like, oh yeah, I heard you. Okay. But just do whatever he says. And I love that verse because if you have a highlighter, a pen, a crayon, take that and circle verse 5 over and over. Highlight that. Underline that. If you want the secret to life on this earth, do whatever he tells you. I was like, man, I could come in and preach that and walk off and it would be enough, right? Like it would be powerful. Like do whatever he tells you. That is so powerful and so true and so simplistic. She says, hey, do whatever he tells you. Because if you do that, he'll fix this problem. Do whatever he tells you. Because if you do that, he will take care of you. If you do that, he will walk with you in this. He will walk with you in the pain. And it is such a huge truth. And it's so easy for us to forget and think about the complexities and going, hey, well, I need to bring this in and do this and do that. And she says, hey, just do whatever he tells you to do. Whatever he says, just do it. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but maybe Mary knew he was going to do it. But I believe even if she didn't think he was going to do it, she was like, hey, Jesus, I'm going to trust you with this problem. So whatever you say, you make the call. Just whatever you say, whatever he does, whatever he tells you to do. What an amazing, humble position for us. To Jesus, I got this going on. I got this problem. I got this situation. God, I've been toiling over this this relationship over my entire life. God, and I'm ready to surrender it to you. I say, Jesus, I don't know what the next step is, but you do. And I'll do what you tell me to do. So you tell me, God. And I'm going to follow your lead. I'm going to allow you to lead the way in my relationship. Allow you to lead the way in my decisions and the wisdom that I need from my life and in my heart. And Jesus says, hey, this is what I want you to do. Go get these stone jars and I want you to get the water and I want you to fill them all the way up to the brim. Like I want them things spilling over. These are huge basins. It says that 20 to 30 gallons of water. So that's a ton of wine. They're about to throw down, right? Like they got all this though. It said, fill it up to the brim. And I begin to think about this, like, why all the way to the brim? Like, why to the brim? Some may spill over. Come on, Jesus knows this, but why all the way to the brim? And we, as we study this, a lot of scholars believe because Jesus didn't want to leave any room for anybody to say, they added that. They added that. Jesus didn't perform that miracle. They poured some wine in there, right? Like, they added some of that. Jesus is like, nope, we're going to fill it to the brim. And when you get it there, guess what? All this is going to be wine. And I take this, and we think about it in a relational standpoint in our lives, that we cannot leave any room for lies. We can't leave any foothold for the enemy to come in and say, you know what? God really didn't say that. God really did not do that in your life. You are not a new creation. You just said that word. You just made that mistake. You just did that. And we leave room for the enemy to bring in lies into our life. And maybe even the lies of somebody else that we are in relation with. Somebody that's sitting at our table who's sitting really close to us may speak that into our lives. Hey, you're not a good mother. Did you just see how you reacted to your kids? You're not a good husband. You're not doing great at your job. You're not all of these things. Very real lies that begin to weigh on our shoulders that are so heavy. And Jesus is saying, don't you dare allow those lies to get in. No, I want you to keep your heart and your mind full of my word. And if you will do that, I promise you, my promises will reign true and you will stand on those promises. You will stand on that truth. And if anybody comes at you, the Bible describes it as fiery arrows. If any of those come at you, you say, nope, I'm already full of the word. I'm already full of the truth. I already know what God says about me. The insecurity cannot bring fear. Whatever you're saying, the lies will not cause division in my marriage, division in my relationship, division at my work. No, the lies will not come in because I know what the truth says. And that is where I base my decisions and my emotions, because when we run out, our emotions can go haywire, right? Yeah. So many times I have conversations, and even in my life, right at the moment in the apex of the problem and the division, and it's like, okay, let's just take a break. Let's let the dust settle for a moment. And in those moments, we have to hold on. The storm is raging, the thunder, the lightning, the rain, everything. We have to hold on to God's truth, because we may not know which way is up, but God is saying, no, this is what my truth says. Keep it grounded and don't let any other lies in, because you're already full by what His word says. Because when we allow the lies to come in, it creates insecurity, and insecurity brings in fear. Now that we have fear, now we start relating to other people from fear-based decisions instead of strong, biblical-based truth decisions. And that when the fear gets in, it starts to run and create roots in our heart. And God is saying, I don't want that for you. No, you know who you are in Christ. You know that you are a new creation. You know that I will speak truth, and you know that you are redeemed. You know that you can't handle the world on your shoulders. And just like Mary, we say, hey, I can't handle it, but I know the one who does, okay? I know the next step. I know what God has given me, and He'll give me that wisdom to take that next step. And I may not always feel like it, but I know that Jesus is with me in and through every single step of the way. And so God continues to speak. And I love this verse here, and I'm getting ready to invite the band down, because I'm going to get ready to close here in a few moments. But I think there's something powerful. God's been stirring this in my heart lately. And He's saying, hey, Daniel, there's this powerful verse here, and it says, when we are faithful in the small things, we'll be faithful in the large things. And when I think about not allowing any room for lies to break into our lives, I believe that is where it starts, to lead with integrity, to say, you know what? I'm not gonna take care of the small decision, take care of the small things inside of my life, inside of my heart, every day, every step of the way. And through those small things, God will begin to bless me with larger things. And God will say, hey, you got this taken care of. I believe you. I know you're walking with me in this. Now I'm going to open up this doorway. Now I'm going to open up this doorway. Now I'm going to open up this doorway. And as we trust Him more and more, allow Him to fill us more and more, God continues to say, look, here is new wine inside of your life. Here is new opportunity. Here is new ways to find growth inside of our relationships. But it starts in the small. It starts with the integrity in the small. The moments of saying, God, I'm going to trust you in those small decisions. When that notification pops up on our phone. Boom, it starts right there. I'm clearing that, right? It starts small with the thought that's inside of our head and going, you know what, God? Boom, that's yours. I'm stopping it in the thought process, not in the action step. God is saying, I want this for your life. And then this last truth. There's so much here in John chapter 2, right?
Yeah.
So good. It's so powerful. And here's something that, as you peel the onions and layers back, if you look here, verse 8, it says, and he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from. Jesus performed this miracle. Only him, the disciples, Mary, and the servants knew. Jesus didn't get up in the middle of the crowd and go, woo, you see this wine? That came from me, right? Here I am. Look at that. This is so awesome, right? Jesus said, this is not my time, but I'm going to do this. And just these people are going to know about it. How humble of Jesus to say, you know what? It's not my time. Yeah, I know that my Father in heaven has all of this in His sovereignty, all of this in His perfect timing. And I'm going to trust God in each and every season to know that, hey, it's not my time. But I believe what is more powerful is that in the smallness, it says that, hey, at the end, it says, the first of the signs, Jesus did in Cana in Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. This is the early stages of His relationship, and Jesus did all of this so that this small circle of disciples would go, you are the Son of God. I see Your glory. And I came just to encourage. Maybe you're a mom and you're like, am I going to keep investing in these kids in my house and nobody is going to see what I'm saying? Nobody's going to hear these seeds. Like, nobody's going to. And my word today is, yes, Jesus performed His very first miracle. And He believed it was so powerful enough just for His disciples to see it, that the seeds that you are planting, the hope and the truth that you're doing every single day matters, and it is worth it. And God will use it for His glory in His timing. You just keep planting. You just keep encouraging. You keep bringing truth. You keep steering. You keep trusting and leaning on God. And He will be there to water that inside. And I believe that when we get tired, when we run out, that's when we know I got to turn back to Jesus. Let Him fill me back up to the brim. And I'm filled back up in God so that now I can keep investing, keep pouring. And I think about everybody that comes in here at the Bridge Church every single week serving, every single week. Hey, know that it is worth it, that God is going to use every smile, every hug, every word, every truth you're sharing in kids. Every moment, God will use it for His glory. And just because it's small does not mean it's not significant.
Yeah.
God will use it and allow it to bloom. The conversation that you have with your spouse behind closed doors on the dining room table, you may feel like, oh, I don't know if this is even going to go anywhere. God is there in those moments. As we continue to trust in Him, lean on Him, because He is there with us in that. And He wants us to trust Him, because we'll see Him not only move through us, but now through the disciples. And if you go even further than that, their disciples. 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 All the way 2,000 something years later, here we are in 2019 talking about this miracle that Jesus said, hey, I'm only going to tell you guys right here, right? And all of a sudden it multiplied thousands of years, and we see God's glory in incredible ways, and God can use every ounce of that. The word, He says, that we speak into people and encouraged me, He said, I'll use every single bit of it if we trust Him with it. And so that's my heart, that's our prayer, is I hope that you feel encouraged today to know that your position matters, that the opportunities that you have in front of you that even may feel small, but God will use them for His glory. And I pray that we leave from this place. We were praying together as volunteers, and part of our prayer was, God, I pray that you will just breathe fire into our hearts, that we leave this place. It doesn't matter if it's one little kid or a group of 100,000 people, God, that we're speaking truth, encouraging and loving and smiling and hugging and showing all these people this hope, this truth, because God will use it for his glory. And you may be at a moment where you come to God and say, God, I'm out. Right? The wine is out. The patience is out. My endurance is out. My strength is out. My prayer is that you would come today and say, you know what, God? Just like Mary, Jesus, I'm out. We're out. We got a problem. And allow Jesus to use it as an opportunity to fill you back up. And all that takes is us presenting that to God, being honest with God and saying, God, here is the thing that I'm running out of, and I need you to fill me up right now. I need you to fill me up in this moment. And we go back even this week and we get to dive into his word and his encouragement and his truth. And we want to be a church that wants to walk with you. So if you, hey, I'm not sure what to pray about, I'm going to be up here. I love to pray with you and pray over you and for you in this moment and saying, hey, God, just speak this into them, encourage them. And even during this week, you're saying, hey, I need to know where to start. Like, we'll go as far as we'll text you some verses throughout the week. Whatever you need to know that God's truth will fill you up. We want to walk with you in this. And so let's pray together. Y'all got me excited. We're going over time. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. Jesus, and we may have come today, and some of us may be out. God, and I pray that you would just speak encouragement into their heart. I pray that there is maybe one nugget of truth today from your word that they can hold on to and leave this place believing, God. God, thank you for believing us, believing in us. Maybe when nobody else could see the promise or truth or the ability in our lives, God, but you believed in us first. God, and I pray that if anybody in this room has not surrendered their life to you, God, I pray that they will do that today. They will not leave this place guessing or wanting to know how to have a relationship with you, God. I pray that they talk to me or talk to one of our leaders on their way out, God. God, I pray that you just fill us up. God, I pray that we surrender our problems to you, and I pray that you guide us. And at the end of the day, I pray that we do what you tell us, because that's where transformation begins to happen in our lives. We love you. We trust you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.